Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Well, everybody seems to have a computer today. Everybody has a mobile device, a phone, an iPad, or some sort of gaming station. They have a desktop or a laptop, but all these computers. And you think about it, you call that your computer. But do you know there's people today that are reporting that everybody's computer is accessible to anybody? They can get all your information off that computer and use it ever how they want to use it. As a matter of fact, Julian Assange, who's founder of WikiLeaks, he's in Russia now, but he was given an interview on CNN. They asked in the middle of this whole interview, when they're talking to him about, you know, are you sure this particular company's computers are being hacked, or the Democratic National Convention reportedly was being hacked? And they're talking to him about that. And this is what he said, which is very powerful. Let's take a look at what he said about hacking of computers, which means getting into your computer, your company computer, your business computer, your bank's computer. And we're going to find out in a few moments, even NSA, the America's national security computer. Let's take a look.
So you should understand, I'm a computer security expert for 20 years. Everything is hacked by everyone, basically. If you're a major company, major political party, you end up getting hacked or attempts at hacking by criminal hackers, by ideological hackers, by insiders, by nation states, etc. That's very normal.
So the thing about this is that first of all, a corporation owns that operating system, such as Microsoft or Intel, or they own that, especially these social media networks. And so it's just a board of directors and a company who makes money off the bottom line. They're gathering all that information on you alone. Now imagine somebody being able to go through all of your information and your banking information and your personal information and your corporate secrets, how you've written out your vision for your company and how your company's going to proceed and how you're dealing with competition and that type of thing. Well, if anybody would know, it'd be the founder of WikiLeaks that actually shares about all these different places that have been hacked or gone somewhere to get the information, which would be illegal hacking, but you know, murder is illegal and it still happens, and that's happened. But listen to this. This is from Glenn Beck. He's talking about it on a program, saying that the malware, which is programming that somebody can put on your computer, and it will just do whatever they want. It'll gather the information. It'll tell them whatever they want. But it's called malware. So when you hear the word malware, when Glenn's talking about it, he's talking about NSA, our government, has the ability to spy on folks, and they put this malware on some country's computers or whatever, and it would come back and tell them everything. Well, now they've been gathering all this information allegedly on us, America, NSA, and somebody has hacked the NSA, allegedly. Let's take a look.
I want to talk to you a little bit about shadow brokers. Shadow brokers, now this is according to Foreign Policy, a very respected magazine. And they broke a story yesterday on the shadow brokers. Apparently, they claim to have broken into the NSA and hacked their way in and stolen malware. Now, I want you to listen to this, because they have posted some of the malware files over the weekend online. The hackers have made one set available for free. The other remains encrypted and is the subject of an online auction payable only in Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency. The set includes the so-called shadow brokers' best files. If they receive at least 1 million Bitcoin, the equivalent of $550 million, they will post more documents and make them available for free. The set of files available for free contains a series of tools for penetrating network gear made by Cisco, Juniper, and other major firms. Targeting such gear, which includes things like routers and firewalls, is a known tactic of Western intelligence agencies like the NSA and was documented in the Edward Snowden files. Some code words referenced in the material Monday, Banana Glee and Jet Plow, match those that have appeared in documents leaked by Snowden. Security researchers analyzing the code posted Monday say it is functional and includes the computer codes for carrying out espionage. This is significant, really significant, for a couple of reasons. This is the first time I've ever heard of some sort of, would you call this like a hostage situation in a way? Or espionage? It's a hostage situation, really. Country is held, being held hostage. And it's being done in Bitcoin. They're not asking for cash. They're asking for cryptocurrency, which is completely untraceable. That's significant. That shows these guys, you know, the world they're living in. And it is not this world that they're living in. The other reason why this is so dangerous is if they could hack into the NSA, what can't they hack into? If our NSA is, if they could go in and hack the servers of the NSA and then take their files, and I don't mean their files like on us. They're taking their software that they use to conduct espionage on people. If they can go in, take the software off of their servers, and then have the to sell it, who are we dealing with? Who are we dealing with? I mean, that's stuff that gets you a bullet in the head, you know, walking down a dark street one night. You'll be hunted by the CIA and the federal government for the rest of your life. You know, I think it would be a vacation to have a fatwa on you, seriously, rather than taking on the NSA like that. Would you agree with that? Which one's going to get you by the end of life? Which one is for sure going to kill you and never forget?
Right. CIA.
I mean, with you know, the resources.
Yeah, you're just not going to.
Yeah, but
if the leak is a genuine sample of NSA code, which so far all researchers say is the case, then this month's season of information warfare has taken yet another bizarre turn in a span of several weeks. Russian hackers have posted hacked emails and other documents on a mysterious site known as DCLeaks.com. Some hackers have infiltrated the Democratic National Committee and put them on WikiLeaks. The Clinton campaign argues that Moscow was intervening in the election in favor of Moscow-friendly Republican nominee Donald Trump. To muddy the waters, the person calling themselves Guccifer 2.0, and which intelligence agencies and security researchers say is a Russian invention, has surfaced to take credit for the attack on the DNC and other political institutions. Okay, first of all, let's break this down. Did you hear, by the way, what Guccifer released when he released all the phone numbers of everybody in Washington? We haven't really talked about that. Have you seen this? So he released all of the private phone numbers, all of their passwords, yeah. Everything else. One of the passwords from the DNC, the DNC is a subscriber to the Blaze, apparently. And their
thank you.
Thank you. I'll take their money, and I'm happy to take their money. But they're a subscriber to the Blaze, and the password is nutjob. which I thought was hysterical.
Cute.
But anyway, so they're taking stuff from the DNC. But if this is Russia doing this, which I think it is, I mean, either that or it's 20-something, you know, kids that don't have a clue of who they're messing with. Who do you think is doing this? Do you think this is just a group of renegade hackers or people like the Russians? Which is more likely? Should ask Brad Thor. We should get him on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it could be either. But I mean, when you talk about breaking into something that complicated.
NSA.
Like, you need national backing and resources.
What is Edward Snowden doing these days?
Yeah, he's in Russia. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I know. So they're hacking into the NSA. If this traces back to Russia, that's an act of war. You don't hack into the NSA.
They've been doing it like crazy. China's been doing it, and we've done nothing about it.
I mean, not to the NSA. Not taking our stuff and just posting it. They always deny it.
Well, I saw Jason Bourne, and there was a group of kids who were like 20, 21, just a bunch of nerds hanging out in some dark, crappy warehouse. I think in Budapest or Prague.
Oh, yeah, I did
see that. And they all just got together.
I don't think that was a documentary.
I have
seen the documentary of Mr. Robot.
No.
Mr. Robot has a bunch of kids in an amusement park. I don't know why we don't shut them down.
We need to stop them. We need to find them. It's amazing, though, if that technology exists, and I'm pretty sure it does for us, the Jason Bourne technology, the NSA, the CIA was finding out immediately what they were doing in real time. And then dispatching assets to try to deal with the problem. I mean, do we not do that? How does the NSA and the CIA not monitor this stuff, find it out, and then trace it back?
Work hand in hand.
I mean, is that just movie fiction? Because I think we can do that.
Well, I mean, you know, you'd get some complaints from government types and security types that would say this is the type of stuff that libertarians want to stop.
Well, I don't think they want to stop it when they're knocking on the door of the NSA's
certainly
encrypted files, and you're seeing that, then you should deal with it, right? You should.
Right. I mean, I think it's difficult to detect, right? Like, I mean, the DNC hack was one of these situations where they were there for, 6 months?
Yeah.
Six months inside this. I mean, it's amazing that these things can happen. And yeah. I know there's a separation.
A little difference between the DNC and the
CIA. We're being taken apart. If you have the you have the NSA taken apart. I mean, the NSA, that has all our files too. That has that has every phone call anybody in the country has made. You go to Salt Lake, mm-hmm. and you look at the NSA complex there in Salt Lake. You go ahead. You just go up to the gate and try to get in. They take security wildly seriously.
Yeah, they do.
You're not hacking into that place if you're nobody. Listen to this. This is their actual words. We find many, many equation group cyber weapons. You see pictures. We give you some equation group files for free, you see. This is good proof. No? You enjoy. You break many things. You find many intrusions. You write many words, but not all. We are auctioned the best files. Okay.
They're obviously not American.
Yeah. Let me just do this. We follow group traffic, the equation group source range. We give you files for free. You see, good proof, no? You enjoy. You break many things. You find many intrusions. You write many words. We auction best files, yeah? I mean...
So they're Swedish?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's kind of written like my friend the Prince.
Elites. Elites is making laws protect self and friends, lie and F other peoples.
And it's tough to know. I mean, I always feel like the standard thing to think is they would have the ability, if they could do this level of hacking, they'd have the ability to figure out what the right words were in English to not look like morons. We actually found recently, though, that one of the reasons why, you know, when you get those shady emails from Nigeria, and they're always like, me, Prince.
My friend, the Prince.
Yeah, it's like, but it's written completely.
Wait, that's not real.
Oh, you.
Sorry.
You didn't know?
I just sent him all my money.
Okay. Well, you're fine.
I'm going to be rich tomorrow.
Yeah, your Prince is probably legit, but I think a lot of people get hackers, and scammers that do that, and they're always, the language is always terrible. And the joke always is like, why don't they just freaking figure out how to say this right before they email everybody? Well, what they found when they studied this was that the people who are smart enough to realize the language was bad never responded to the emails. So it was a way for them to filter out fakes coming back to them. They realized that if people found it was smart enough.
So you're looking at this conversation that's being had is that the NSA, where they gather all of the security information, all the data information, and they put it in these huge buildings, which you probably can see right now, that's where they're putting all of our data. Well, they've been hacked. And not only is the information potentially being hacked, but how they're hacking, how the NSA is gathering this information from all these sources around America and around the world. These are very important times to pay attention, because you add this to everything that's going on with Putin getting involved, with the Dmitry Dudeman prophecy talking about how something would happen in the center of the United States and that people would go with the resources to be able to work on that. And all of a sudden, Russia would come and begin to hurt our nuclear power plants, where we're creating nuclear power in America. I mean, that's what's prophesied about. But you're looking at these things just unfold again and again and again. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about a prophecy that was given by Kenneth Hagin. Although it was some time ago, it hasn't happened yet. Is it happening as we speak? Think about Russia, communism, and racial tensions taking place. That's what he's talking about. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
The world's waiting for a hope. They're waiting for another conversation that only you and your assignment can provide. Daniel was just faithful to his assignment, and he kept getting called before the kings. They remembered him from generation to generation and said, wait, there's one man who can solve this problem. And I believe that God's releasing people into their assignment, and in their assignment, there's going to be people who hear the whisper of their name, and you're going to find yourself called into places. Maybe you're just a barista, and all of a sudden, the head of the whole coffee company comes in and goes, I need to talk to you. I've heard some things that you've done here. And you're like, am I in trouble? No, it's actually the opposite. We're in trouble. We need you right now. I'm hearing these scenarios all over the world right now where Christians are being placed to solve problems and to cure confusion. And it's not just in one genre or area. The beautiful thing about the kingdom is it works in all aspects of life. It's not just like the easy parts of life. It's the hard parts of life. That's when Christianity shines. That's when we're a light, is the hard parts of life. There's two options, and all of a sudden we bring another option. There's no answers. Everything's exhausted, and all of a sudden we show up, and it's like, because we showed up, like when Jesus showed up, another option's presented, and people are like, how is God this good?
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
In this day when one in five couples is infertile, more and more families are looking to adoption as the alternative of choice. For those who have taken this step or are presently contemplating it, there's the issue of how to tell the child that he or she is adopted. Well, let me offer four suggestions that I hope will be helpful. First, begin talking to your toddlers about their adoption before they can understand the meaning of the words. That way, there'll never be a moment when disclosure is necessary. Second, celebrate two birthdays with equal gusto each year, the anniversary of her birth and the anniversary of the day she became your daughter. That's a handy mechanism by which the fact of adoption can be introduced. Third, present the adoptive event as something that brought great excitement to the household. Tell about longing for a child and of the thrill of his or her arrival. You see, the child's interpretation of the adoptive event is almost totally dependent on the manner in which it's conveyed during the early years. Most certainly, one does not want to approach the subject sadly, admitting reluctantly that a dark and troublesome secret must now be confessed. And fourth, when the foundation has been laid and the issue diffused, then forget it. Don't constantly remind the child of his uniqueness to the point of foolishness. I believe it's possible by following these common sense suggestions to raise an adopted child without psychological trauma or personal insult.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. So, you know, one more thing on the cake here, obviously. One more thing's taking place, but data, everything's being pushed into, you know, we no longer have pieces of paper, which you should have. If you haven't yet signed up for the Torch newsletter, you need to go to vfntv.com, upper right-hand corner, and sign up for it. Immediately, you will be sent a gift. It's called Prudent Preparation. In the email, you can listen to it, and it talks specifically about these days that you have to begin to prepare. If you don't have a printed copy of something, like your bank account or
a title for a vehicle or just your power bills, that you actually paid your power bills, mm-hmm. and you're just letting things be done on your phone or your computer, then you're just left at them telling you, you owe us 6 months, you're 6 months behind.
But John Paul Jackson prophesied that. He sure did.
So these things are taking place. Well, one word that was given by Kenneth Hagin back in 1963, you think, well, why would we bring that up? Well, it hasn't happened yet, but we're starting to see that happen. You think about, they're saying Russia, based on what Glenn was just saying, mm-hmm. looks like they're the ones that are hacking into our NSA, which is a really formally, by the way, for this generation, these are bad things, but they're not responding as if it's a bad thing.
Right.
Normally, you go to war when something like that happens. And so
it's an act of war.
All these different things that happen. And so they hacked our NSA, which is like going into the main part of who we are as a country.
National security.
Yes. And how they actually gather their information, which means they can do that themselves based on these reports. Well, communism. You're looking at communism out of Russia. You're looking at Saul Alinsky, we talk about the rules for radicals all the time. That's communism, where they're wanting to promote socialism and communism. And then you look at all the racial tension going on in America. It's like our own leaders are doing things that causes people to be divided from their own community. And listen to this word. I mean, it's coming, you know, from a King James version mm-hmm. of the word, but listen to it and realize halfway through it, you're going to start hearing some exciting things. But listen to the first part, because he's talking about potentially what could be this very day. And it lines up with Matthew 24 when God says these things will happen. But let's take a look.
The hand of the Lord was upon me. The Spirit of God moved upon me. The voice of God spoke unto me and said, come up hither, son of man. And I went, as it were, up into the air. And stood with him, the head of the church, even the Lord Jesus Christ, in the air. And as I looked down upon the ground, I could see as a map laid out before me the entire nation, all of the states of the continental United States. And as I looked, he said, behold, son, and I shall show you that which shall come to pass. And that which the eyes of many shall see, and they shall remember that their ears heard, that it shall come to pass. For there came a dark hand up out of the ocean, from the east, even the Atlantic Ocean. It came up out of the sea as a hand, and as it rose up into the air, it became a dark cloud. And it filled the whole atmosphere. And yea, it swept in them like a storm from sea. And I said, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, what's the meaning of this? And he spake unto me and said, son, that is the darkness of atheistic communism that is sweeping across the nation. Even in the minds of men in high places and politicians with great power. And this nation shall not grow more strong, and ye shall never have more liberty than you have now, but liberties that you've known, as you have seen them seized, shall be seized and shall be taken from you. And I looked again. And I could see upon the mountain a blot, as though a bottle of ink had been spilled, and it spread out over several states in the south and east. And then I looked and I could see spots splotched all over the mountain. And I said, Lord, what meaneth this? And he said, communistic inspired hatred among races shall cause greater turmoil than your nation has seen heretofore. Yea, it is not the will of God, but men's hearts are perverse. They walk without the love of God and seek to have their own way. And so it shall be worse than you have seen. And I said, O Lord, O Lord, is there a remedy? Is there a remedy? What shall the answer be? And he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. And then I said, oh Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to in the future except the darkness, the blackness, war, destruction, evil? And then he said, son of man, forget not your text, for you look at the thing not seen. And so then I looked into the spirit realm, and I saw falling upon that mouth a ball of fire from heaven. The closer to the earth, the bigger it got. And then when it came to the earth, it divided into small balls or sparks of fire and fell upon men. And I saw an army of men rise up. And it seemed as though their hands were fire. And they sat upon their heads a tongue of fire. When I first saw it, I thought their whole head was a head of fire like their hands. But it was a tongue of fire. Tongues of fire leaping. And I said, what meaneth this? And he said, before the worst shall come, the day of darkness shall come, there shall those who will go who shall carry the fullness of my truth and the fire, not only to the states of this nation, but to many other places. For there is a work that must be done first spiritually before the Lord shall come. Now prepare ye your hearts, for the time is at hand, and the beginning is now. And ye shall see, and ye shall know, for the hand of the Lord is upon you, and many others, to be used in these last days, and the work shall progress.
So we're looking at, you know, this prophetic word that was given in 1963, but now we're looking, we're going to get back from this break, we're going to talk about how truly people who were influenced by socialism and communism, who's now in leadership, is involved in turning this nation, that those things are happening. You're watching people who weren't divided because of our leaders and people they associate with funding those divisions and that strife, and it's happening as we speak. And things like, you know, will there be this kind of liberty again? I mean, we really, and you hear about Dmitry Dudeman and what's taking place with the prophetic word over America. We need to really come alert. But the last part of that, we want to talk about where a great revival begins to happen and the fire of God begins to fall down and begin to burn the hearts of men.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.